Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We want to give a special shout-out to all of our friends on the Gulf Coast Christian Television Network audience, all the way from Mississippi to Sandestin. And, of course, we want to give a special shout-out to all of those who are listening on VFN Radio across the nation and the world. Hey, we love hearing you on Facebook and love communicating. Keep it up. Here to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. Glad you could join us.
I'm glad to be here.
He's right on time.
Yeah.
I had a clock in my head.
Okay. And Steve Kalaszewski.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing good.
Fabulous.
I'm doing good. Don't forget, we're two programs back to back. We had a chance to talk about, my goodness, Marines and worship. And we're going to talk about worshiping today, men in worship. Because, man, that was just amazing watching those Marines worship God the way they did. These are the days of Elijah. And if you missed it, always go to VFNTV.com. where you can get so much more. We have everything available for you, podcasts, we have the torch, tons of stuff, VFNTV.com today. Also, we're going to be talking about Reinhard Bunke. Evangelist Reinhard Bunke just finished his crusade in North Carolina. 15,000 people he preached to, and just God is just moving all across the country. They're getting ready to go to Houston next, but we are believing for a third great awakening. And many people are hungry for an awesome, awesome move of God. And, of course, we're going to be talking about trusting the Lord. And we're going to have some thoughts on freedom today. A lot of times you hear the word freedom and people want freedom. But what do you think about when you think of freedom? What are the things that are important to you and you kind of fit them all together? What is freedom? And what is the responsibility with freedom? So we're going to be just kind of unpacking that and talking about that here today. But, you know, Reinhard Bunke is an evangelist that God called him some time ago, many years ago, to preach the gospel to Africa. In fact, as I remember, he felt that the Lord gave him a mandate that all of Africa will be saved. And my understanding is that there's no other person who's preached to more people face-to-face than Reinhard Bunke. Have you ever seen any of his crusades, like, a million people show up at one time.
Sea of people.
It's just.
I've never seen so many people gathered in one place.
Maybe we'll have something related for you on the torch. But yeah. I mean, you see all those folks. You get to see how if you didn't know this, how small you are. I mean, a million, and his crusades have been known for. They'll line the walls with crutches and wheelchairs and just all sorts of things, miraculous healings. But of course the biggest miracle and the greatest miracle is when someone finds the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And some years ago, the Lord told Reinhard to put a book together that was going to be mailed to every house in America, Salvation, with a Salvation Plan. And he says, "Oh, okay." And long story short, he was able to do it. I mean, every single house in America got this booklet on Easter Sunday, I believe. About a Salvation Plan. And so he's just been known kind of just to do things like that. Well, here recently, and we shared on VFN TV, that the Lord spoke to Reinhard Bunke and said all of America will be saved. And so for many years, his ministry base was based out of Africa. They've had these hubs all around the world, but that's where his field of ministry has been. And here now recently, Reinhard Bunke is in America. You'd normally have to, rare occasion he would be here in the States. But he is now preaching the gospel in America, which has been just phenomenal. A lot of people have been greatly encouraged. And they gave a report. Charisma News is reporting that their crusade, 15,000 people were there for over two nights. The churches in North Carolina were united for this event. And they all came in. And many people got saved. Many people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And their next stop is Houston, Texas. So, Houston, get ready because they're coming. And we're just believing for that. It's our desire to see a move of God come across the face of this earth like never before. And there's something about revival. that when when you experience revival, I mean revival, you know what I mean? You can never go back.
Mm-hmm.
You can never go back. And we were privileged to have an opportunity to be involved, firsthand experience the Brownsville revival back in 1995. It's a revival that spanned several years. I think 4 million people in total came through those, you know, that time. And my goodness, you know, I was there. I saw night after night after night people come in. I it was my first opportunity to serve. I was an usher there. So we were responsible to get there early and opening the doors. In the early days of revival, you know, people were just coming from everywhere. They would line up long lines, and then we would get the time. Okay, we're going to open the doors an hour before service. Now, they were already there 7, 8, 9 hours waiting to get in. Mm-hmm. And then we'd open the doors. And in the early days, people were – and I'd watch it from the balcony. I'd tie my watch on my wrist, and it'd be 60 seconds – every single seat was taken. I mean, people just running, just like droves to get a seat so that they can, you know, wait for an hour before the service is actually about to start, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was just glorious, wonderful days. We thank Brother Kilpatrick and now Brother Steve Hill, who's in heaven now, for just them being, you know, men of integrity and character, stewarding an awesome move of God like that. And we believe in that God's going to do it again. I mean, we got to have revival.
Amen.
I mean, we got to have a fresh move of the Spirit, and not just a revival, but an awakening. And the difference between a revival and awakening is that revival normally, you know, touches the church and maybe touches a region or parts of the nation. But an awakening is when the entire nation gets rocked. And we've you know, first great awakening, a second great awakening. You know, they say the Welsh revival, but I think the Welsh revival is like an awakening because there was no place in Wales that was not touched by that awesome move of God in 1905. And so when I think about all the things that are happening and some of the things that are been prophesied that are going to come, some of the difficult and challenging times that we face, I'm encouraged. And we want to encourage you to continue to pray, to continue to believe, to continue to be desperate, going after a move of God, because we need a third great awakening.
Amen.
And there's nothing more exciting than to see souls come into the kingdom.
Yeah. I think about the other evangelist that came from, I don't know if he was in South America or, you know, he was saying, bring JC to DC. And that was,
Ronnie Howard Brown from South Africa.
And it's like, you think about these and it's just like how God is speaking to people from other continents to bring the gospel to America.
Yeah.
And it's just like to increase and just believe God for a mighty move of God. And it's just like when you're really taking consideration the multitude of all the prophetic words and the things that's happening. And it's just like, it's going to be some very difficult days. It's going to be hard days, but at the same time too, people are going to be crying out. And I think about that, like you're saying, just imagining in 60 seconds, the urgency.
Oh, man.
And I just think about that, and it's going to be the same thing that how people were running to a seat. People are going to be running to the cross. They're going to be running to Jesus, and it's just like, this is going to be very, very exciting.
Oh,
and
man.
It really just increases like my expectations and hopes and desires of just like, God, what are you going to do, God? Like, this is awesome.
Yeah. Listen, a bad day with Jesus is way better than a good day without him, believe me.
Yeah.
And you want to have Jesus in your life, and you want to see other people come to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you. You want to live an exciting, fulfilled, adventurous life in God. Lead someone to the Lord. Don't keep Jesus a secret. Share the opportunity with someone. Maybe it's your coworker. You know, for such a time as this, you know, you prayed for a job. You were believing that God can bless your home, and now God gave you a job. And now you're right in the middle of people that don't know him. Maybe God designed that on purpose so that you can share with them Jesus and the hope that you have. Maybe it's a particular store that you go to, or maybe people that do service work on your vehicles or maintenance on your home that you've built a relationship with. You know, I always say that, you know, I had this idea in my mind that I just don't want to go to heaven, you know, and Yeah, I think about the two conveyor, these two, you know, what do you call them? Escalator lines going up. Those escalator stairs you see in the malls. People jump, and get on. And, you know, I don't want to, I had this picture one time where you don't want to be on one line. We're all going to see the Lord, right? We're all going to see the Lord. This is not in the Bible. It's just a mental picture. Go with me here. And I don't want to look at the other person in the other escalator line going up and see their escalator line is going somewhere else. You know what I mean? Maybe it's going up and maybe going back down. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say, I don't want them to look at me and say, you knew? You knew about Jesus? You knew the hope? You knew and you didn't tell me?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't tell me about Jesus? I don't want that. I don't want their blood on my hands. You know, I want to be able to tell all those that I come into contact with that, listen, God loves you. He has a plan for your life, that your life doesn't have to be the way that it is, and that not everyone's going to a better place. You know, that is a huge lie that's been told over and over again. It's things that people say, I don't know why, maybe to help other people feel better when someone passes by, but that, well, at least they're in a better place. And my question is, how do you know?
Right.
You know, not everyone's in a better place, but they can be if they choose to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. And the excitement that that brings when we can help people to know his voice, to follow his ways. Jesus just doesn't come in to, you know, dress up your life and to give your life an upgrade. He comes to revolutionize your life and to give you a whole new way of thinking and living and being. And I want to encourage you, today is a great day to make Jesus Savior and Lord. He loves you, has an amazing plan for your life, and it is a journey of a lifetime. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You hear so many opinions about what's taking place over our borders, but when you're seeing children who, of no fault of their own, are coming across our borders looking for help, and we as Christians, we have a response to that. And the Word of God, He tells us very specifically how to respond to people in need. And we're known for that. As a matter of fact, David Barton gathered a lot of pastors together on the border at request of Mercury One to be able to be there to minister the needs of these children. And this one particular lady, I don't know who she is, but she's sitting by Dr. Avita King as Dr. King's raising her hands, and she's just telling us, man, we got to check ourselves. This is who we're supposed to be as the church. As a matter of fact, watch this.
You know, I was moved with compassion. That's what prompted me to come here. And the church has not been moved with compassion. The scripture says Jesus was moved with compassion, and that's why he healed people. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 that one of the signs of his coming and the end of the age would be that that iniquity would abound and the love of many would wax cold. When the love of God that is inside of us by the Holy Spirit waxes cold in us as his people, it's because iniquity has abounded. The church really needs to wake up. And the only way the church is going to wake up is it's going to take prayer for God to turn the heart. Because he said, if you pray, the heart of man is in the hand of the Lord. And he will turn it wherever he will. But he said, if you pray, I'll turn the heart of the king. If you pray, who pray? If my people that are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, you know those iniquities that abound? He said, if you turn from your wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive your sin, then I'll heal your land. So we as a church, we need to repent, the entire body, cross-denominationally, cross-culturally. We need to fall on our faces and repent before God, asking for his mercy and forgiveness, because we have turned our backs on many people. And when you can turn your back on a child, he said, allow the children to come, for such is the kingdom. When you can turn your back on a child, your heart is stone, and you need a wake-up call.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy. $50 Eye Guy.
Facebook can be fun, but if some of your friends are old flames, watch out. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. Pastor Dave Carter suggests that past romantic relationships could fan the flame of discontent in your marriage.
You don't have to create infatuation with an old girlfriend or an old boyfriend. It's already in your brain. You have the memories stored. 30 days of regular contact with an old boyfriend or an old girlfriend, and you will be swept off your feet with infatuation. It'll come back and just drown you.
You've got to guard your relationship, especially in the world of friends and followers. We've got trusted advice to help keep your marriage strong and thriving when you stop by focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And you know, in our previous segment, we were able to share about Marines worshiping 200-300 deep. And I think about Psalms 34. Says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glory and glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And there's something about, you know, worship. There's something about seeing men worship. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I saw those Marines, what was it, 200-300 deep?
Looked like it, yeah. It was powerful. Least, yeah.
I mean, locked mano to mano, shoulder to shoulder,
swaying back to side, shouting, just had their little movements. Is very cool.
Listen, that is exciting. You know, I've had the privilege of just being involved in men's ministry for years. We all have, and just seeing men worship. I always say that's the most exciting thing when you get men locked up in a room or wherever. And they just kind of go after God. It's intense. Mm-hmm, it's it, with that same intensity that I've seen men play sports, play football, play baseball, do the things that they do. I see that same intensity in their worship. And I just think that's just a fragrant offering to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I think about times when we've been to the Promise Keepers rally, you know, New Orleans, Atlanta, and Birmingham, D.C., and to see these thousands of men that before were probably all there to see a sporting event because they took over stadiums, and to hear the roar of these men shouting the name of Jesus, worshiping. It's just beautiful. And we need that. We need to see, you know, men move in that place again. You know, when we look about men and the relationship with God, it's important. It's important that we talk about men because you know why? They are our sons. They are our fathers, our grandfathers, and to some, they're your husbands. Mm-hmm. And we want them to be impacted by the glory of God.
Amen.
And it's just amazing. I think about those times at the Next Step Outback and the Father and Sons camping trip. You know, we had the privilege for 10 years in local community to be able to share the Malachi Mandate, a prophetic word that God was turning the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons' hearts to the fathers, and to see all those boys and all those men in a huge, how big was that tent?
Oh my gosh, 8,000 square feet.
8,000 square foot tent out in the wilderness with you know, a band that was just, you know, man, playing away.
Tearing it up, man.
Tearing it up. Wasn't it awesome?
That was powerful. I'll never forget it. I mean, seeing all these men and boys just, you know, worshiping God with and then abandoned them. I mean, it just, you know, it was powerful.
I remember hearing a testimony about a young boy that was there. And I don't know if one of the, or if it was Greg that was saying there, or if one of the fathers, but said, you know, what do you think about all this? What are you saying? And what the boy said was, it's like Disneyland.
Yeah.
The power of seeing so many fathers come together just to spend time with them going after God. And it's just like how sons see that, how children see that. It's like, wow, that's powerful.
Yeah, it was a great picture because here you have these fathers that took time out of their schedule. They said they're going to take their son or sons on this event, and they dedicated an entire weekend. They didn't have cell phones and all these other, you know, contraptions to be distracted, no shiny objects. And it was all about, you know, spending time with your son, connecting with God, and you saw a progression from night to night, you know, like, what is this? And then by, I mean, it didn't take long because then, like, really by the second night, you know, even the first night was great, but by the second night, it just crescendos. And you see these men get filled with so much hope. And you watch a young boy look at his father and saying, is that my dad worshiping like that? Is that, is that my, you know, what is that?
Yeah.
You know, and you're seeing this roar, this opportunity to say, man, you know, I love God. I think about David. David danced so strong, the Bible says, so mightily. He was so moved by the Spirit of God that he danced out of his clothes. He danced out of his clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a liberty and a freedom that comes when people just say, you know what, I'm not going to, you know, care about someone looking at me or what I'm saying or what I'm doing. But when your gaze is upon the Lord and you begin to start using words in song or just talking to the Lord in prayer, but when you get to that place of intimacy where you're talking to Jesus, it's you and him, and you're saying, you know, I love you, Lord. You know, I saw there was a trend in worship sometime where songs were about God and about Jesus to intimate songs, more like, you know, talking to him. When I say intimacy, you know, first person.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something pretty powerful when you're engaged in that way and you're just saying, you know, God, I need you more. You know what I mean? I love you. You're awesome. You're amazing. And it's amazing how those songs stay in your spirit and stay a part of you well after the service. There's a song in your heart and your spirit is stirred. And I just love those moments, you know, just to see boys and young men going after God together, supporting each other. When I saw those Marines, when I saw those Marines going after God, man, I said, this is amazing. This is too cool. And who knows? You know, there are greater days in store. There are greater days in store where we can begin to see that. You know, instead of filling up stadiums to watch a sporting event, why not believe that those days can come back again in a greater dimension where the stadiums are filled all over this country with men that are coming in and saying, you know, and boys saying, you know, I want to know more about God. I want to stand strong.
You know, and I look at that, when you see that video, and we'll have that related for you, But of all those, there was different rows. But because of there was those individual lengths with two or three side by side, they were able to make up however many were in that. And it just makes me think, like you're saying, men's ministry, you know, that's how I came to know Pat in the beginning days was, you know, we had that time once a week where you had three or four guys come together, talk about what God was saying to them, talk about what was happening, being able to pray for one another. And it's just like, a lot of times you're like, wow, a stadium and 300 guys. And it's just like, if you have a neighbor, if you've got a coworker, if you've got a friend, it just takes two. It takes three or four, you guys coming together, and it's like that is so powerful because a lot of men don't have that.
That man, you hit the nail right on the head. Those men's abiding groups were so powerful. And they are powerful. Men are getting together in small groups, and instead of just talking about the latest sporting event or what happened, you know, they're coming together because they've spent time with reading their Bible all week. They've took time to journal what God has spoken to them about. And now they come together over a cup of coffee in a diner and they're caring for one another. They're finding out, hey, man, what's going on in your life and what's going on with your children? And they're becoming transparent with each other, and they're going from acquaintances, and as they become closer and share more life, more prayer concerns, and they're bonding, they go to friends. And before you know, we've seen a beautiful transition where people, guys, go from acquaintance to friends to brothers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's a big deal for men to make that transition. Seems like, you know, women and ladies are able to connect sometimes a whole lot easier, and they get it, and they're like, you know, wham, they're
that
sisters.
Trust factor.
Yeah, but men, when you see that, when you see that happen, man, it's a beautiful thing, because when you're brothers, You're brothers. And it's so powerful. I want to encourage you. Get in the men's abiding group today. Contact us. We'll join us when we get back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up, download it for free, or go to VFNTV.com.
Man, God just baptized these Gentiles in the Holy Spirit. Verse 46 says, "For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God." That's so important, because up until that point in time, it still was us and them. There still was, okay, I see we're not going to call them impure or unclean. I see that in some way God is accepting them. But all of a sudden, as soon as they were baptized by the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden they became us. At that moment in time, the baptism of the Holy Spirit said to the only ones at that time that understood that God was going to save them, the Jews, that God saves the Jews and He saves the Gentiles. It was the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues that caused them to sit back and say, "This is God." It wasn't His message. It wasn't the dream. It wasn't the trance. It wasn't the vision. It wasn't people saying, "I give offerings. I do this. I do that." It was because Jesus baptized them in the Holy Spirit. That was the beginning of the understanding that God is in the Gentiles being saved.
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And before we had went to break, we were talking about the Lone Ranger. No, not the Lone Ranger. We were talking about men worshiping, and how awesome that was. But we want to get to back to talking about Francis Chan and Lisa Chan's book, You and Me Forever. We want to encourage you to pick this up wherever books are sold. We'll have it related for you on the torch today. We've been talking time to time about this book, and we've been showing you videos. But Francis and Lisa put this book together because they wanted to share a biblical perspective about marriage and come from a different perspective that maybe a lot of people are used to hearing and seeing. And
most.
Yeah, a lot of times you talk about marriage or marriage counseling, it's about meeting each other's needs or desires. And a lot of it is me-centered. And the truth is that one person cannot fulfill every, you know, other person's desire or needs or wishes. Sorry to let the cat out the bag. It's not possible. There's only one God, and his name is Jesus. And he is the all-sufficient one. He's the one that meets all of our needs. And he's the one who we serve. We don't serve people. We serve God. And oftentimes why... And there's many reasons, but one of the reasons why marriages fail is because they turn inward, and it's all about sometimes what people can get out of it, even Christian marriages. You know, what can I get out of this thing, and how can you serve me and fit into the paradigm or the picture that I've always saw it was or Hollywood gave me or whatever, you know? And you and me forever. And some of the things that he says is that marriage is not going to be forever. It's not going to be forever, and it's definitely not the answer. But he talks about some of his chapters as marriage isn't that great. Pursue the perfect marriage. Learn to fight well. Don't waste your marriage. Is there hope for us? What's really best for the kids and the amazing race? And you know what? When if you lift marriage to a place where it becomes an idol, then it's not good. You know what I mean? It becomes a stumbling block. And the whole purpose that we can find in all of this, because when you give your life to the Lord, you know, I love what we've said for years. Don't marry a Christian. If you're single, marry a godly person. You know, basically everyone says that they're a Christian. Marry someone that wants to follow Jesus, that is not interested in making Jesus their savior, but is interested in making Jesus savior and Lord. And the Bible warns us about not being, you know, unequally yoked. And when you have a vision to serve God, and you have a vision, the reason you're coming together is because you want this union that's coming together, that the husband's representing Christ, the wife is representing the church, the bride of Christ, that together you guys are doing your best to serve God, honor God, and to glorify him through this relationship. And then if you're going to have children through your family. And in this book, Francis and Lisa write about that, but they've also put these videos together to kind of help you go beyond the book and to give you some visuals and to give you some stories about other couples that have decided to do that, decided to realize that their marriage wasn't about them, but how can they use their marriage to honor God? And you're going to watch some testimonies of three couples, one of which had an amazing idea for their wedding. And you're going to love that. And another family in particular that reached out to other children and said, this is what God has for us. Amazing. May we all be challenged this way to look totally outside the box and to say how we can continue to serve God and all that we do, especially those relationships that are so closest to us, marriage and family. Watch this.
When we first started talking about getting married, Nigel mentioned, what if we have a really big wedding and invite all of our neighbors?
We live in a neighborhood of 400 by 400 yards, and in that area are four 25-story high-rise buildings. And in those buildings are 4,000 people.
As we kept talking, we realized a lot of our neighbors don't have cars, a lot of our neighbors would never step foot in a church building. And realistically, the only way they could come to our wedding is if the wedding came to them.
We were driving home from church and we had just heard a great sermon on the book of James. And then on the ride home, Sharon said, we ought to really do something that matters. And I thought she was going to suggest we work at a soup kitchen or maybe do something on Saturday afternoons to help people. And instead, she introduced the idea of adoption.
We saw a picture in a newsletter of George. The ad said that he was healthy, but was born with no arms and desperately needed a loving home. And I really felt that God was speaking to me and saying, I want you to adopt this boy. I have a plan for this boy to be in your family. And I was actually afraid to even mention it to Mike because it was such a departure from anything we'd ever done.
When I was in control, I drank everything away. I drank away my marriage, I drank away my children, I drank away my relationships. My life basically caved in and crashed in around me.
Our marriage was at a bad place. I knew that I couldn't move forward with the way things were going. And I made a decision to file for divorce.
Should we go out there or out here? Let's go out here because we're going to show you the wedding site and everything. Folks don't normally have a wedding next to something like this. And it isn't always this bad, but as you can see, there's a bit of garbage strewn around today. But it really worked out well on our wedding day.
This is where we said I do. And we had all of the chairs right here and our neighbors, and you can see the buildings. And the whole neighborhood could hear our wedding, and a lot of people came down and joined the party when they heard songs and prayers in their languages.
Because we wanted to include as many people as we could in our wedding, we actually ended up deciding to have two wedding ceremonies and 2 3-hour receptions in one day.
I think as we make our major life decisions about who we'll marry, what our career will be, where we'll live, how we'll spend our time, I think we all have defaults in our life that kind of dictate or guide us in these decisions. As we were planning our wedding, there's so many cultural defaults that may not necessarily be bad or good, but they just are handed to us. And I really felt God speak to me to challenge how I would do our wedding and how we would live our lives, that our new defaults would be what would glorify God most.
To paraphrase 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, Christ, who was rich, became poor so that we, through his poverty, could become rich. And as Jesse and I were getting married, we wanted our lives to reflect this verse, to intentionally become poor in some way by moving into a high-needs neighborhood. And it has certainly enriched our lives.
Before we got married, people told us that we should maybe not live in our neighborhood for our first year of marriage, that we should take it easy and really build into our marriage. And we really felt strongly that we should stay in our neighborhood and that we should start our marriage by serving God together, because that's what we wanted our whole lives to look like. There's something powerful about seeking first God's kingdom with your spouse that makes your love go deeper and stronger than if you were just seeking first your marriage.
There you go.
We got George home and things started to go fairly well and he got healthy and happy. And I thought, okay, we've done our deal. This is our grand contribution to the kingdom. God should be very happy with us now. And I went by the computer one night and Sharon was sitting there looking at the internet
and she had found James, and it said boy born in India with no arms. And Sharon had the idea, why don't we make them brothers? Wouldn't that be amazing?
And serving God really takes a lot of submission, and it takes a lot of sort of repetitious, unglamorous kind of work. I think people can look at our family and see 12 vivacious kids and think, wow, this, you know, what a beautiful thing. But that involved years and years of doing the same thing over and over again. And you have to be willing to kind of make yourself nothing sometime. And then he blesses those efforts. And in the end, he makes it into something beautiful.
With Sharon and I think it's that we actually don't focus on our marriage that makes it a great one. And Satan sometimes whispers in your ear when you're tired or alone or 3 a.m. and says, your friends are going to Jamaica next week. And they're just going to sit on the beach and stare into each other's eyes. And you don't ever get to do stuff like that. Ha ha. And you're like, what have I done to myself? And then you have other moments where you go right to the tip of the mountain and you realize it's going to have effects for eternity.
I think this adoptive mission we're on has been the best thing for our marriage, because I see people that have been married as long as us struggling to find common ground and find common interests and stay interested in each other. And I feel like we have this big God adventure that we're on together, and that's the most romantic thing you could be doing.
There's 140 million orphans around the world, and like, how can we just use our marriage to just ignore that whole worldwide problem? I don't know how you're going to face God at the end and say, oh, you put us together and you found us and you made us, and what we decided to do with our marriage was get comfortable.
The day that Susan threw me out of the house was the day that literally saved my life. And what transpired from that night was a series of events that only God could orchestrate.
When I was working, there were Christian people around me, and they seemed like they had good relationships with their families. And that was really what I wanted.
My wife started taking our kids to a church, and I'm thinking she's sending them to a cult. And so I decided I'm going to go visit church with them. That morning, God got my attention in a really big way, and I ended up giving my life to Christ. God restored my marriage. My ex-wife and I were remarried. We became best friends. But something important changed. Our marriage wasn't just about each other and our children and our home and our dreams, but it also included helping other people in any way that we could. That's where our heart for missions really started. And that's how Crisis Aid was born.
Right now we're in East Africa. This is little Thomas Ginn. He's 4 years old. And as you can see, he's severely malnourished.
Crisis Aid is now building a children's clinic in an area that has no doctor. We're starting another building program for girls who are victims of sex trafficking. As well as looking at the United States, our inner city work, we want to expand that significantly.
We are headed to the center. Our mission is really to reach the lost. We provide packages of food that include groceries, canned goods, meat, vegetables, and bread, just depending on what's available.
I love standing back in a corner and watching her. She glows. Just to see the life of God come out of her. And you can see it in her face, in her expression. And even if she limps with her cane, there's a difference, you know? She's more beautiful to me today than the day we got married, the second time. Have we been living our own life and, you know, trying to build the good life for ourselves? We wouldn't have that experience. We would be missing that.
We know that restoration is possible, and it's exciting to see what God's going to do and how he's going to use it after all of these years, you know, because it's, you know, it's been a while. out.
Well, I've never been busier in my entire life, and I'm supposed to be retired. We don't see any reason to slow down. I mean, but you know, when you're on a mission, when God puts this thing in your heart and you really find it, it's not work. I mean, it's a privilege. If married people want to know how to be missional, there's about 3,000 verses in the Bible that deal with poverty and injustice. Pick one and build your life around it, and you'll be in the center of God's will.
I think a common way that people view relationships and marriage is finding someone that you can spend time with, that you can do fun things with, you can have a family, you can buy a home. I just felt like marriage could have a much stronger, more powerful, more significant meaning than just someone who I could grow old with.
I think one thing about marriage is that it doubles what you individually desire. If you individually desire to settle down, then you'll doubly settle down. But if you individually desire to be on mission, then you'll doubly be able to do that. And seeking first the kingdom, doing hard things, even suffering.
God is pleased with a marriage that doesn't dwell and consume itself and get caught up in its own roots and vines, but is seeking to reach out to the world around it and have an actual lasting impact for his kingdom.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. We're going to go to break. We get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about how we can live missionally.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy. $50 Eye
Guy. Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God, and survival in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity and our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better, be absolutely resolved to know his voice better. And we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology. And it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.
You know, I'm reminded of a very successful young businessman. And he loved to buy his mother these exotic gifts for Mother's Day. And he ran out of ideals. And then he ran across these birds. These birds were cool. You know, they cost $5,000 a piece. They could dance. They could sing. They could talk. He was so excited, he bought two of them. sent them to his mother, couldn't wait to call her up on Mother's Day. Mother, mother, what'd you think of those birds? And she said, they was good. He said, no, 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 mother, you didn't need those birds. Those birds cost $5,000 a piece. They could dance, they could sing, they should talk. And she said, well, they should have said something.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And wow, rethinking marriage and rethinking the possibilities of maybe, just maybe, the whole marriage thing is not about
me.
Yeah. But it's about him. It's not about me, and it's definitely not about you, right? It's not about any of us. It's about God. And there's a last little bit of this clip that we want to just share with you, because so many times people look at what they can't do. I mean, how many times have you heard that before? Like, I can't do this. I don't have the money. I don't have the intelligence. I had this home, this parents. I don't have that talent. I mean, just every reason why you can't. But I want to show you a picture of a boy who said why you can. Just see this. Get a picture of this. Watch this. For those listening on the radio, he's actually playing the guitar with his feet, with his toes.
It's amazing.
It's beautiful. Listen, God's blessed you with so many opportunities to serve him. And you know, that's okay. You know, we want to look at this from a different perspective in terms of rethinking marriage and saying, wow. And I know this impact, you know, we're going back and forth looking at each other's eyes saying, wow, that is beautiful.
Yeah, it's like when you see this video and you really just, I mean, I've just began to read some of the pages in this book, and it's really rocking my world. I'm not married, and it's just like, but getting that biblical understanding, and it's just like, the reality and the truth of, like, listen, marriage is not forever. It's like we put all of our cards in thinking about this life of a vapor and forget the fact that, you know, I think about, Francis Chan has a way of just putting in words that really challenge you. And he's like, a lot of people think about, you know, the last 10 years of their marriage and retirement and all that. He's just like, but I'm thinking about the next, I don't know, million years or the next
200
years. And it's just like, a lot of people think I'm crazy, but that's real. And I think what is so powerful is one of the couples said, I want to look, hear what he said. He says, we don't focus on a marriage. We don't focus on marriage. And that's what makes it a great one. And it's like when you have two people that come together and it's just like, we're just focused on Christ. We're just focused on Jesus. Yeah. And it's like, that's what it's supposed to be about. It's like, regardless if you're single, if, you know, through scenarios that you're divorced or you're married, your life is about glorifying God.
Yeah.
And when you get that paradigm, it's just like, listen, the glory of God is at stake in my life, and I'm going to be held responsible, and I'm going to have to give an account on how I did or did not glorify God. I'm not okay with not giving a satisfactory answer to Jesus. Like, I'm going to have to answer for that. And it's just like, I want to live my life that glorifies
Him. And just staying together just to retire is not going to cut it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it just reminded me of what Paul said. He says, if you are married, live like you're not.
Yeah.
I mean, these people are living that out, literally.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that cool? Because you look at that and you say, okay, that's the greater purpose. The enemy has lied to us and make you think that marriage is about this or that, or, you know, growing old with someone and all these, you know, whatevers. But the truth of the matter is that you have the opportunity to live missionally, as they were saying, and then as you're raising a family up, you know, the worst thing that could happen is for young children to think that now the parents exist to take care of their every need. Mm-hmm. And we need to be always, as parents, as leaders, to be pointing to the cross and be pointing to Jesus, to understand the context of how this marriage came together, you know, why we're here on earth, what's our relationship with God and our obligation to the Lord, not in a sense of duty, but in a sense of love. Mm. And then when we have children, We're supposed to do the same thing. Point them to the cross. Point them to God and say, this is what our life is all about. And I see, you know, you see families that all they is, it's fun. It's like, well, listen, you know, redirect your fun into fun for God. Mm-hmm. You know, fun is being able to take care of the poor. Fun is going to the nursing home during the Christmas holidays in particularly and singing Christmas carols to the elderly, to see mm-hmm. them. I remember we took our boys there and when they were so small and to see the grandmas, you know, just go out there and want to touch the babies and pinch their skin. I just told my son, hey, you just got to take it, man. You got to take it. She hasn't seen a little boy in years. You just got to take it. And your cheeks were so red. This is the joy that we have to live for a greater purpose beyond ourselves. It doesn't satisfy. It's a lie. Our joy comes when we're focusing all of our attention and our relationships on how we can love people. And when we're married and when we have family, say, listen, we can do this together. We can reach generations mm-hmm. for Jesus Christ when we make it all about Him and all about us. Maybe your challenge today, listen, cry out to God, get together, rework it out, get with your spouse and say, we've been doing this for the wrong reasons. Listen, we're going to have joy in our marriage and our lives again when we focus all our attention on the Lord and how we can glorify Him. Thanks for joining. Special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Just talking to my father, mm-hmm. and he was, my sisters and I, we got them an iPad, mm-hmm. and, move them into the next level of technology.
Right.
And my mother was Skyping now.
Oh,
my
wow.
mother, yeah, she can Skype. She can Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom on, have to do a conference call or something, uh-huh. bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to hear my mother. We just laugh and talk, and we've always had a great time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they're listening to VFN TV mm-hmm. and the VFN radio program, watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program mm-hmm. with their iPad.
Oh, wow.
They have an iPad, uh-huh. and they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store mm-hmm. and downloaded the application because we have an application. We have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad, we have an app for your iPhone, and we have an app for your Android. Mm-hmm. You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go is the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh, man, I missed that, you can go that. With the app, you could go back and look to the highlights of that day and possibly the app, that particular highlights right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio program Facebook. You can get to our the VFN TV blog right off your application. It has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are you know, sowing into this ministry and giving that you can even give right there on your application.
Wow.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey, Dad. And all the moms and dads out there, listen, you can get VFN TV, the daily radio program, right there on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today.